Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
In today's responsorial psalm, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands." That's Psalm 112, verse 1. And so following that theme of blessedness, we're going to begin reflecting on each of the Beatitudes, which we mentioned on Monday's homily. Sanctity is more of an art than it is a mathematical equation. It's more of an art form than a math equation. And the Beatitudes are a portrait painting done by a great artist. They're actually a portrait of Jesus and of his disciples. Just like all the attributes of God, his holiness, his love, his mercy, his justice, his truth, his goodness, etc. Just like all of those attributes are really one and the same thing in God, so too all of the Beatitudes are different facets or traits of a person who's a disciple of Christ, who's a true disciple of our Lord. And yes, they are a portrait reflection of Jesus' own heart as well. So the first beatitude is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Beati pauperis spiritu is the Vulgate in Latin. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's Matthew 5, verse 3. In his letter to the Thessalonians, St. Paul says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. The word spirit used there by the apostle refers to our capacity for prayer and worship. So it refers to the higher faculties of our soul, the intellect, which desires truth, and the will, which desires what is good. In her Magnificat, Our Lady says that her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior, Luke 1:47. So the poor in spirit are first and foremost those who are humble. St. Augustine, in his commentary on the first Beatitude, says this. He said, "Presumption of spirit implies arrogance and pride. For in common speech, the proud are said to have a great spirit, and rightly so, because the wind is also called a spirit. And who does not know that we say of proud men that they are swollen or puffed up? Here, therefore, by poor in spirit are rightly understood the lowly, the God-fearing, those who do not have a puffed-up spirit," says the Doctor of Grace. The word for spirit in the New Testament Greek is pneuma. It literally means also wind and breath as well, not just spirit, wind and breath. So you can see how being puffed up and full of wind, or maybe even a bag of wind, as they say, they're all euphemisms for someone who is proud. The poor in spirit are those who are humble. The rich in spirit are those who are proud. Father Haydock, in his commentary, says that humility is placed in the first place in the Beatitudes because it's the parent of every other virtue, just as pride is the mother of every other vice. Maybe we wouldn't call pride a mother. Maybe we would call her a stepmother, a wicked stepmother, if you want to look at it from a spiritual point of view. The rich in spirit are those who are proud, arrogant, self-righteous, self-reliant, not God-reliant. Those who have a closed mind and a closed heart, those who justify themselves rather than allowing God to justify them. The poor in spirit, on the other hand, have hearts and minds that are open to the Lord. They allow the Lord in. You could even say that they allow the Lord to love them. The poor in spirit worship God in spirit and truth, as Jesus says in John 4:23, meaning that in their thoughts, and in their choices, and in their actions, they reverence God, and they testify to the fact that they belong to him. In truth, the poor in spirit are completely attached to God, and they're detached from everything that's not God. They cling to God, but they learn to hold on to everything else very loosely. So they're actually the freest people in the world, when you think about it. The rich in spirit can worship many false gods, the gods of pleasure, of power, of comfort, of popularity, of admiration, of applause, of education, of physical health, of money. And they can also have many false beliefs about life and about God and about themselves. So we can say that the proud in spirit are those who are full of themselves in a certain sense, rather than being full of God's grace, as Our Lady was, which the poor in spirit are. And the proud in spirit tend to focus on themselves. They tend to be their own little gods, as it were. Whereas the poor in spirit focus on becoming like the one that they love and the one that loves them. They focus on becoming like our Lord. An essential characteristic of someone who's poor in spirit is their recognition of their need for God and for His grace. So the emphasis in this beatitude is not on material poverty in and of itself, but on an inner attitude. It focuses on the heart here. The poor in the Bible are those people who, in their adversities and their difficulties, they humbly and confidently turn to God, like beggars who turn to rich people for help. The word in the Old Testament used for them is anawim. In Psalm 25, verse 9, the psalmist says that the Lord, quote, leads the humble anawim in the right path, and He teaches the humble, the anawim, His way. So anawim is the Hebrew word for humble, poor, lowly, afflicted, or oppressed person, someone who turns to God in their miseries. Someone who's poor in spirit also has what we could call a teachable spirit. Someone who's proud doesn't have that. You can't teach them. They refuse to listen. They have ears, but they won't hear what they need to hear. They make us think of the parable when our Lord says at the end of the parable, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. He says that. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16:31. The poor in spirit don't need someone to rise from the dead. They're docile. They have a teachable spirit. The poor in spirit are also those whose heart is pressed down. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So God draws near to those of us who have broken or damaged hearts. St. Ambrose says that in the eyes of heaven, blessedness begins where human misery begins, in the eyes of God. So acknowledging our own misery and neediness and brokenness and turning to the Lord for help is really when God's blessing can begin to enter into our lives and into our hearts, as was the case with the prodigal son, if you remember that story. When he acknowledged his neediness and brokenness, then the Lord was able to enter into his mind and heart and convert him. St. Jerome, for his part, says that the poor in spirit are those who embrace voluntary poverty for the sake of the Holy Spirit. Cornelius a Lapide says that there are three sorts of poor people. So there are those who are actually poor, like beggars, those who are poor in spirit, but not actually poor, like Abraham, the patriarch. And there are those who are both poor in fact and in spirit, as are religious, who vow poverty for love and affection for it. And there are a number of times we know in the Gospels that Jesus counsels his followers to embrace a life of poverty for the sake of the gospel. He said to the rich young man, he said, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. It's Matthew 19:21. He says, as another example, in Luke 12:33, he says, sell your possessions and give alms. Provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Another father of the church, St. Gregory Nazianzen, has a beautiful reflection on this. He says this. He says, the riches of monks are in their poverty, their possessions in pilgrimage, their glory in contempt, their strength in weakness, their fruitfulness in celibacy, who have nothing in the world and who live above the world, who in the flesh live out of the flesh, who have the Lord for their portion, who on account of the kingdom labor in poverty, and on account of poverty are kings, says St. Gregory Nazianzen. Beautiful reflection. His words echo the thoughts of St. Paul regarding our Lord. When the apostle said of Jesus, he said that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. So the root of blessedness and evangelical poverty are voluntary poverty. And evangelical perfection are voluntary poverty and humility, just as the root of sin is pride and covetousness. We'll note here that it's not wise to, as a counsel, that it's not wise to give away our things impulsively, because our Lord recommends it in the gospel. We need to seek wise counsel before rashly doing things that we might regret and that might cause us to not trust our Lord in the future. The Lord sees that some of us have a generous heart and want to respond to his call generously and radically, but he also wants us to have a wise heart as well. So we need to seek counsel in some of these things. And the blessing of the poor in spirit is that theirs is the kingdom of heaven, meaning that they already begin in this life, even in the midst of sufferings and difficulties and crosses, they already begin the blessedness that they will fully possess in eternity. So let's ask Our Lady for the grace to only worry about making a name for ourselves in heaven, which is where the names of the poor in spirit are written. They're written in heaven, where they are made rich and happy and joyful and glorious forever and ever. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.